Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Daphne, come stand by me just a minute. Just stand by me a minute. Let me just give you a little a part of a story as we have a growing relationship. And some of you like Maurice. Maurice was married just a month ago. He and his precious wife were married in my office right after a service on Sunday. And we love you. I'm proud of you. It's just some of us have other talents than other people do. That's all right. She can sing. This girl can sing. I want to read a verse to you. This is, I don't know if you can get it quick enough. If you can get Acts chapter 17. Can we? I didn't intend to do this. I had no clue that I would do this today. But Acts 17, you have a Bible? You want to, or on your phone maybe? You have a smartphone with you? This is Acts 17, 24. Just stand here by me, Daphne. Just stay a second. This is Acts 17. This is the story of when Paul went to Athens on one of his missionary journeys. He shows up in the city of Athens, and there were no believers in God there. They had an idol, and they had titled it. There was an inscription on it that said, "To the unknown God." So they had a bunch of gods, but then they had one they knew something's missing, so we'll just make an idol to the unknown God. Is that all right? That's the story. That's where he is. He's standing in Athens, and he begins to talk to the people about the unknown God. And in verse 24, this is Acts 17, 24. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul. Would you look up here just a moment? I want to validate what I'm about to say. These are words that are spoken by the Apostle Paul. These are not my words. I'm being accused of compromising and letting more people go to heaven than the church would like. And I just want to read something to you. I just want to read this to you. The God. There's only one God. Help me. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. You can say amen to all this if you'd like. And does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human needs as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. God gives all people everywhere life and breath and everything else. Is that all right with you? From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them. God knows exactly what time it is, and he knows why you're here today. He knows where you are, and he set you up. He set the times for them, listen to this, and the exact places where they should live. He's got you on his mind, and he's got you exactly where he wants you. This will make sense here in a moment. Why she's acting just a little out of hand. God did this so that men, this is why he did it. This is why he set you exactly where you're at. So that you would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us. Where is Paul talking? Where is he? He's with heathens. He's with people that do not know and do not believe. He's in Athens, and he is saying that God is not far from each one of us. He didn't say every one of us, each one of us. For in him, is that up there? Does anybody like this? For in him we live, and who's he talking to? He's talking to heathens. He's saying to them, in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we're his offspring. Daphne was married to a pastor, minister. She's been involved in the ministry, spirit-filled, probably predominantly African-American ministry. Married to a man who was immoral and and contracted AIDS and gave her AIDS. And then she was married to another man who was immoral, staying in the ministry. Daphne's been around the ministry. Daphne's been a leader. She's preached conferences. Infected, full-blown AIDS. Prostitution, alcoholism. Living in New Jersey and then Florida. And I don't know how in the world she came here. But about a month ago, she showed up here. And she fell in the floor. And I held on to her, standing right. I was sitting, we sat on the floor right here while y'all did whatever you do. I did what Jesus would do. I didn't know her. I just put my arms around her and held on to her. And she said, I don't know how hopeless you've ever been. But then when they tell you you're dying of AIDS. So she left and went to the hospital and said, I need you to do blood work. I need blood work today. And came with the wrist bands from the hospital and said, the doctors reported there is no evidence. What's the exact words?
You're undetectable. They can't find it in my blood.
Undetectable. And I know that because of her culture, she might respond differently and probably could go to churches where a whole lot of people were making the same amount of noise, getting up front. I know that. I know you. I'm the pastor of this church. I know who I'm talking to. And I know that some of you are distracted by times and you got to look and see what she's doing. But you need to know something. Homeless, broken and helpless, with memories of great times when she was up, memories of time when she was respected, memories of times when she had money, memories of times when the church was a game, where the whole thing was a creepy game. And she came today, and she said, I got a place. I got a place of my own. I got my own. Something fell out. She just said, I got a key to my own place. Last Sunday, I had them put a key on the board. Just to show you that there's a key to prosperity. There's a key to health. There is a key to wealth, and that is to be thankful. If you're thankful, something happens in you. Something empowers you. Something makes you move forward. And she got a key, and she brought a little cup full of keys today. Nobody else did. Nobody else came rattling keys in my face and said, I'm thankful. I'm really thankful. So I just want to tell you the backstory. I think it's important that you have the backstory so that you can take a breath, and if you can't stand watching, close your eyes and sing. If it's a little more expression than what you're used to or that your culture, I'm telling you, there are some times that some people need to be very thankful, and they need to anoint his feet, and they need to give him some oil, and they need to say, you've forgiven me a lot, and I thought we lost her. Last night, Ray Starr came and told me that her mother just passed away. And he said, I think Daphne's gone to New Jersey. He said, I don't know where she's gone, and gave me her phone number. And I saw her today, and I thought, oh, thank God. She said, I couldn't go to the funeral. And then she said, you're stuck with me. And I just want to thank God today. Because he came to where you are, no matter where you lived. He knew exactly where you were. And sometimes, Daphne, you got to help us. You got to be tolerant. You got to realize that people don't understand. Everybody doesn't understand the expression. But it's going to be all right. And she's got a place, and there's a home. Look at me. And when I put my arm around her, I don't want anything from her. I just want to love her.
Thank you for grace, place, Lord. Thank you.
Let's all stand, shall we?
I wouldn't have been able to.
Just somebody say thank you. Somebody lift up your hands and say thank you, Jesus. God is good. God is good all the time. So somebody tell him you're good all the time. Love you. Would you put your arm around somebody? Would you just hug somebody close to you? Just hug them real close and let the love of God flow through you today. Would you do it? Could you do it? Hey, Scotty, you ready? For just a moment. Thanks. 3 or 4 weeks ago, you that are a part of our church, and I wish everybody was a part of our church was here right now. Don't you wish everybody was here today? And this is like a huge washing. Something's happening in my spirit. Several weeks ago, I had this sense while I was praying that there were more people in the church who should express themselves. More people that should, from their perspective, like Daphne, like today, you know, just other people could express themselves. And it was like I saw my hand, and I'm just one of the fingers. And I felt like it was bigger than me. Does this make sense? And so I said that a couple of weeks ago to Jolie and Jonathan. We were having breakfast, and I said, you know, I feel like you guys should get ready. Get ready, because something's coming out of people, you know, and out of Jeannie and Mary and Daphne. And I said, and Julie Zelodek, and I said, there's something, there's more than just my perspective. Is that okay? So last night I preached, and Bill Goodwin, you're going to come up in a minute, but just wave your hand, Bill. Pastor Bill Goodwin, I want you to know that man right there is skipping church today. He skipped his own church to come up here today. And Bill, I'm glad you're here. Something wonderful is happening. So I said, you know, so last night I said to Scott, man, you better get ready, because I feel like other people should express themselves. There should be people that express from their point of view, right? And Scott said, I got something for tomorrow.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I am so thankful for God. I'm going to come up here so you can see me. I just want to share a testimony with you. You know, so oftentimes we come to God with our needs, and we go from need to need to need to need, and we're always in need. And oftentimes we don't stop and really thank God for the needs that He's already met for our lives. Mm-hmm. And I just want to do that today. I want to give you a testimony of something that God did through you folks. And really made a difference in someone's life. There's a guy that works for me. His name is James Nelson. He's been working for me for, I think, 8 years, 7 or 8 years. I run a pest control company called Rainbow Pest Experts, and we're part of a larger company called Rainbow Companies that does tree care, lawn care, and pest control. Well, we got this technician out of the Rainbow Companies. He was in the tree care division. He was going to get laid off, and we needed help 8 years ago, and we asked him to come work for us. And so that's where he came from. And right after he started working for us, his mom got cancer. And at the age of 46, his mom died of cancer. And he, at the time, I think, was like 32 years old, just turned 30. He just had a kid, just got married. Went through a lot of stuff in his life, and I'll just try to make this short, that I went to his mom's funeral with him and shared that experience of sorrow with him. And that was obviously the biggest thing in his life. The other day he came to my office. The day before that he had to go into the hospital to take a test because his body was breaking down on him. The whole year he's been having physical problems and he couldn't figure out why, what was wrong. Well, all of a sudden he started coughing up blood and he started to freak out like something's really wrong with my body. And he went into the doctor, he took a regimen of tests, and the doctors looked at him and said, James, we're really sorry to tell you this, but we're about 80% sure that you have cancer. We found a mass in your lungs. We don't know what it is. It's bigger than a golf ball, and it appears like you have cancer. We've done all these tests. This coming Wednesday, in 2 days, you're going to get the results for them. We'll call you and we'll let you know. So the day before that, on Tuesday, he came in. Monday, he took the test. Wednesday, he was going to get the results. Tuesday, he came into my office towards the end of the day, and he opened the door, and he said, he had this real white look on his face, and he looked super serious, and he just said, Scott, I missed a production meeting yesterday. I had to go get tests. I just need to know what I missed, because we have a production meeting every month, and we communicate what they need to focus on for this period of time. So he was just coming to find out what he needed to focus on. And I said, James, something's wrong. What's going on? He said, Scott, I don't want to talk about it. I just missed the meeting yesterday. I just want to know what I need to know so I can do my job. And he was clearly upset, and I wouldn't let him go. I was like, James, you're my friend. And I'm not talking to you like your boss now. I'm talking to you as your friend. What's going on? And I wouldn't let him go, and I made him tell me. Finally, he just said, Scott, I'm about positive that I have cancer, and I just took these tests. He explained it to me, and my heart just hit the floor because I really care about this guy. I see myself in this guy. I can totally relate with him, and I've tried to help him over the last 8 years to build him up as a man, and then to see him going through this really hurt me. So I said, James, we're going to pray, and he left my office. And I looked at the guy that I work with. He's in my office. His name is Mike Misk. Mike Misk, just to give you a background, Mike Misk, 2 years ago, his wife had breast cancer. And he walked through her getting chemotherapy and going through the whole regimen of that. And God healed her. God took away her cancer, and she's cancer-free today. And I turned to him, and I said, Mike, the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I explained to him, I said, Mike, the word righteous there doesn't mean that you're perfect. That's not what the Bible's saying there. It just means someone who's trying their best to live right. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So what that's saying is that if you have experience with something, you've gone through something in your life, something where you really had to deal with emotions and live through the experience of it. By doing that, by going through that, you now are equipped. God has equipped you with the ability to be a difference maker for people. And I was telling this to Mike. Mike, I can pray for James and I care about him, but my prayers aren't going to be as effective as yours. Mike, please, tonight, when you're praying, pray effectually and fervently for James. So we stopped right there, and for like 5 to 10 minutes, we just started praying for James. God, heal him, Lord. Don't let this report be that report, God. On Wednesday, tomorrow, let that report come back clear that he won't have cancer. And we prayed and asked God fervently. So then I called my sister, and this is where you guys come into the mix. I called my sister and I said, Lord, or I said, excuse me, I said, Luann, not Lord, sorry. I said, Luann, you have the phone numbers to the people at church that care. Get on the phone and get a hold of the church and let's ask them to pray. She did. She called me back. She said, Scott, I got your message. I let everybody know. Everybody's praying. I'm praying. We're all praying. The next day he came back. And I got an email from a customer. This was so cool. I got an email, and my phone's dead right now, so I can't read it to you. I was going to read it this morning, but I just will quote it to you. this customer called or sent me an email, and he said, Scott, I had a chance to visit with your technician, James, today. He came to my house to do the regular service prevention pest treatment. And he said, James started sharing with me what he was going through. He explained to me about the test that he took and the results that he's waiting for. He said, I just want you to know that I'm so thankful to hear James told me that his bosses were praying for him. He said, that is so rare here in America where somebody in authority will actually stop and ask God Almighty for help. And so he said, James was really open to me praying with him. So the customer prayed with him that God, and he's saying it in the email, that God Almighty will heal him. And this guy is not a Pentecostal. He's not a charismatic person. He has faith in God. And I love that scripture that Brother Friend just keeps bringing back to us. I think it's Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. We have so much faith in ourselves. We have so much faith in our jobs and in our cars and in what we know. We put so much faith in that. And when it fails, then we're left with wondering, where do we go? Where do we go? What do we do? But we keep getting reminded in our lives, put your faith not in your stuff, but put your faith in God. He keeps telling us, no, put it in me. Put it in me. And so that customer prayed for James. James called me and told me, he said, at the end of the day on Wednesday, I told him, I said, James, when you get the results, I need to know immediately. Call me. So he called me Wednesday night, and he said, Scott, he goes, I've had a really crazy day today. I'm like, what happened, James? He said, Scott, today, my first customer, he was a Presbyterian, full-blown Presbyterian, and he said, we were talking for just a couple minutes, and the conversation turned, and all of a sudden, we started talking about God. And then the person was telling me to have faith in God. And then he goes, and then I went to the second customer, and this was the customer that emailed me. And he said, then that customer wanted to pray with me. And he goes, then the third customer that I went to, that was a full-blown Catholic. And that person wanted to pray with me. He said, I was only with them for 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, the conversation turned to God. That was the third thing that day. He goes, then he said, that's when I said, God, okay, I get it. You're trying to say something to me. He goes, what is that report going to come back to today? And then he got the phone call from the doctor. And the doctor called him and said, James, we are so happy to tell you that that mass in your chest is, we can't see it anymore. And we know for sure that you don't have cancer.
We may have to. Bill, come here, Bill Goodwin, Pastor Goodwin. God's doing some great stuff in your life personally. This man took a sabbatical from his church and from the pulpit, and when he did, I didn't know him, but when he did, he came to our church and was able to drink from the well. You know, get touched by God. I want to be a place where people in the ministry can come and get help and grace and we may wear out more than one today. And Bill and Carla have volunteered to help organize, and he has met with our staff several times, hours and hours of work. He's volunteering to help our church get organized and do the stuff I can't do. If you take your hand like this, and you see those gaps represent me. You guys got great fingers, but I got gaps. Don't look at my fingers, look at the gaps. And here comes Bill, and Bill's filling the gaps for me. I feel, that's what's happening. I can't do this by myself, Karen. Karen, I preached a few weeks ago a message, you are the hyssop that God wants to use you. And she went and found olive oil with hyssop in it and bought it for me. And I have a large scar on my back where they took off cancer 1 year ago. Last month I had cancer surgery, had 178 stitches. They took a large part of my back off, and I put that on my back every day. And then when I do care, and I think of you, so you're getting prayer because of a little bottle of oil you gave me. A little gift gets all kind of blessing. And Bill is my hyssop. He's fixing me. He's helping me. And so you need to appreciate this man of God who came today to visit, but also you need to know him. We need to say thank you, Bill, from Grace Place. Would you give him a hand right now? Thanks, Bill. You should preach or do whatever you feel to do if you'd like to come up here.
Amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is good to be with you. I greet you. My wife Carla's sitting back there, and we greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. We also greet you on behalf of Lighthouse Church. We are filled with joy of what is happening with Lighthouse and Grace Place, and we are filled with anticipation about what is coming. We have enjoyed, I don't know how many it's been, eight Saturday nights recently together, and boy, was it a party last night. My goodness. And so it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning, friends. A pastor friend has said that he wants to join Lighthouse Church. Matter of fact, he said he is joining Lighthouse Church. Okay? And I want to tell you that I want to join Grace Place Church. Amen? I mean that. There's just wonderful things. This is these are exciting days that we are living in. These are exciting days that are before us. I've sure enjoyed getting to know the leadership over these recent months, and we are moving forward and seeing what God has for you and what God has for Lighthouse and what God has for us together, because I see great things. We see great things together. So it's exciting. I want to just declare a testimony to you. Today's a very special day for me. It's a special day because, of course, I get to be here and worship with you. And it's a special day because it's November 23rd. And I realized this morning I was typing the something on the computer, and I realized that today is November 23rd. Friends, 15 years ago today, this is the anniversary for me. 15 years ago today, it was November 23rd, 1999. And I tell you what, what I'm about to tell you, I'm starting to see the beginnings of what took place on that day 15 years ago is now starting to come together. I've had some great days in my life personally, had that sabbatical in 2011. That was a beautiful time in my life. I've had times of ministering in Africa since 1999. I've come from Arizona, where I previously lived, to serve at Lighthouse for the last 10 years. There have been some great days in these last 15 years. But friends, what I'm about to tell you makes me so excited, because I'm finally starting to see what God is up to, what he told me on November 23rd, 1999. So let me go back. On that day, it was a Tuesday. If you look in your calendar, November 23rd, 1999 was a Tuesday. It was 2 days before Thanksgiving. I was driving from our home about 2 miles to our church in Arizona to a staff meeting. And on the way, we had a little dog back then, and I took our little dog to the groomers, which I didn't normally do. And when I took the dog to the groomers, I didn't normally do it because of dealing with, asthma and respiratory stuff. And so I didn't want to go in the groomers, but that day I did. And when I went into the groomers, I had to wait. There was a line, and I was in there longer than I had hoped to be. And by the time I dropped our little dog off, I came outside. My chest was so congested, I could barely breathe. Anybody know what I'm talking about when you've had respiratory? And so I reached in my car. I grabbed this little inhaler. I took that inhaler, and I realized real quick that inhaler was not going to be sufficient for for my condition at that moment. And leaning over my car, I took that inhaler again, and I got in the car not sure what to do. I was starting to become disoriented, and I wasn't sure what to do, but I drove back home a mile, and I opened the garage door, and as I went through my house, my garage door went up. I went through into the garage, into the house, to grab a nebulizer, to take a breathing treatment, and as I walked through the door into my home from the garage, I just called out with the little air I had left, "Jesus, help me, Jesus." And I got into my home, and I knelt down, and I pulled out the saline, and I put it in the machine, and I began to take it, and I knew that things were not going well. I was starting to see everything was moving around me, and I felt like, this is not good. This is really not good. And my daughter at the time was in seventh grade. She was on the couch watching TV. They were off school for a Thanksgiving break that morning. Thank God for that. And I called out to her, "Call 911 now." And she reached over to the phone, and my little angel, she called 911. If she had not been there, I don't know what would have happened. That little girl saved my life that day. And she went outside and she waved down the fire truck and the police. And as they came to the house right over here, and they came in, and there I was kneeling next to my couch, and I was taking that machine, knowing that this is not good. They better get here quick. It seemed like it took forever, but by the report afterwards, it took them 3 minutes and 20 seconds to get to my house from that phone call. And they came in. All I remember was guys in their suits, and they came in with these cases, and they said, they dropped the case, and they gave me a mask. They said, "Put this over your nose and mouth." And I did that, and within seconds, I was completely blacked out. I don't know what happened from that moment in my family room for the next 9.5 hours when I woke up in ICU with my hands strapped to the bed and intubated with a tube down my throat. 9.5 hours went. Somewhere in that time, of course, they put me in the ambulance. I don't remember it. My wife had gone out for just a short time, so our daughter called her. When she came home, the ambulance was just pulling out of our house and going to the hospital. She didn't even see me. You have to know this was a scary time for my wife, who in 1990 had her first husband, David, was killed in an accident at work. And the enemy was trying to replay the scene, because when she pulled up to see him, the ambulance had just left and she didn't get to see him. She called her parents, who were back here in Minnesota, and they were in the exact location leaving their company, their business, when they got the call. She said, "Bill's having a respiratory problem." And they said, "Honey, we've already heard." It was the same thing they had said to her when they had heard of David's accident. Then she got to the hospital, and the people at the hospital asked her to go into this little chapel. The doctor will come as soon as he's able. She stood in that little chapel with my mother at the time. She said, "I don't like this. This is the same kind of chapel I was in when they came and told me David died. I got to get out of here." My mom said, "Let's get out of here then." They went into the lobby and they waited. I was taken then from the ambulance, of course, into the ER. And then eventually up to the ICU. People began to hear what was happening in our church in Arizona, and literally around the world, people began praying. Now I want to tell you the most important part of the story. Somewhere in that 9.5 hours, I don't know if it was in the family room, in the ambulance, or in the ER, but it probably most likely was in one of those spots. I was unconscious, but I was replaying before me, my whole life was going before me. And I saw time with my children and time with my wife, and all of these things were going before me. And my spirit was trying to leave my body. And in a moment, I was unconscious, but I said these words to myself, "I'm going to die, and there's nothing I can do about it." And at the moment I had that thought, boom, my spirit left my body. All of the chaos, all of the commotion, all of the rescue team serving my greater good was happening in the natural, but in the spirit, I was no longer here. Because my spirit left my body, friends. And this was 15 years ago. I feel like it was just this morning. Oh. And there I was in heaven. And as far as I could see, my spirit was in heaven. And I didn't have this physical body, but I could see with eyes. And as clear as I'm standing before you, there were angels everywhere swarming around. They are so amazingly beautiful, so much more beautiful than we've ever depicted them here on earth. Thousands upon thousands of angels. And those angels parted, and in the distance where that light that was so unbelievable, unbearable, gloriously, that light was coming towards me, and it was Jesus Christ. As sure as I'm standing before you, by God, I'm telling you, I saw Jesus Christ in heaven in a white robe, and he was coming towards me. And all authority, all power, all love exuded from him. It just radiated from him. And he was coming towards me, and his arms were outstretched. Oh, glory to God. And knowing what had previously happened to my wife, I don't know if that's what it was or what, but that moment that I saw him face to face, my first words to him was, "Take care of Carla." Years later, now I've wondered, were those the first words that David said to the Lord? And God brought me into her life. You have loved ones that have gone to be with the Lord. Maybe you're even sitting here today because one of those loved ones cared enough that when they got before the Lord, they said, "Take care of," and they said, "You." I said to the Lord, I said, "Take care of Carla." And he said, "No, it's not your time. I will increase your anointing." And when he said those words, "I will increase your anointing," I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was my wife and I together. "I will increase your anointing." And the angels went, and the light was so unbearably bright, but I couldn't see him in that white robe anymore. I don't know if that encounter was 3 seconds, 3 minutes, or 3 hours. There was absolutely no sense of time in the heavenlies. And my spirit went back into my body. And I woke up, as I said, 9.5 hours later from when the paramedics came to my home intubated with a trach tube. My hands were strapped to the bed. They told me later it took 6 men to get me down to where they could strap me in the bed to actually care for me because I had become so combative. I have no recollection of that. And as I opened my eyes in that ICU room, my beautiful wife standing right over me, praying over me. And I opened my eyes and they unstrapped my hands and they gave me a clipboard. And I still have the paper to this day. And I wrote, "I saw Jesus." Tears streaming down my cheeks as I laid in that bed. And In her gentle voice, she said, "Is he beautiful?" When I hear those words you guys sing, and that "Isn't he" song, "Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he beautiful?" Yes. Oh, Jesus. Then I wrote on the piece of paper, "Take this tube out of my mouth. I'm fine. I want to go home." Jesus. We've all, maybe from time to time, we've heard prophetic words, maybe prophetic words spoken over you in your life. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I just know that I've heard not only a prophetic words that have been spoken of the Lord over me through people, but I've heard from Jesus himself, "I will increase your anointing." And that's why I say to you today, that was 15 years ago today, and it's by no accident, as you said, Pastor, that I'm here today with you all. Because what God is doing with Grace Place and Lighthouse, I believe with all my heart, friends, is a part of those words the Lord spoke over me. It's this coming together. It's this coming together. It's this coming together. I want to pray for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for the hope. For the hope that we have, not only of heaven. Oh, what a hope. But Lord, what a hope that we have that you are with us, that you won't leave us, that you won't forsake us. What a hope we have that you're with Grace Place, you're with Lighthouse, you're with the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing something. You are bringing us together for something greater than ourselves. It's a kingdom thing. Help us to navigate, Lord. Help us not to veer off to the right or the left. Or Lord, help us not to run ahead of you or get scared and lag behind you, God. But Lord, help us to walk with you. Oh, God, I bless this church. I bless this leadership. I bless Pastor and his wife. God, I bless this staff, this leadership. God, I bless the people of this congregation called Grace Place. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done. God, that your kingdom would be established and accomplished here, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Father, for those here today that have been reminded now of loved ones that have gone on to glory, Father, right now I pray your comfort and your healing, Lord, your peace would fill every heart here, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. We just love you, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have two last quick things to share with you, friends. First of all, it was a great joy for us to be here several months ago. Maybe some of you were here in August, when we brought our dear friend, Pastor Gabriel Tombella from South Africa. How many were here that Sunday? Okay, amen. I want to bring a report from Pastor Gabriel to you. That you gave in a special offering, as did others wherever he ministered. And this last week, he is filled with joy because he sent me not one, but about 10 emails of pictures of the vehicle that was provided, a 4x4 to go into the villages and preach the gospel in South Africa. And you're a part of that. And I want you to know, on behalf of Pastor Gabriel, thank you. And then finally, I'll say that we have some other ways that we're collaborating, at least in this holiday, in this Advent season. And so I just want to invite you. We've got a gospel concert, a soulful sound gospel concert at Lighthouse on Sunday, the 14th. It'll be at 6 o'clock. Maybe some of you can join us. And I want you to know that at Lighthouse, we're going to fill our bus up, and we're going to come on December 21st at 7 o'clock and come and be with you all to be a part of your Christmas concert. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. God bless you. It's wonderful to be here today. Hey, is there anybody overwhelmed this morning? Is that freaking you out? You that are full of the Spirit, all of you are full of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that somehow today God arranged that Bill would be here on that anniversary day, saying that the anointing is being increased? I want to tell you that my load is being lifted. My load's being lifted. I'm not going anywhere. I don't have any intention of going on a sabbatical or a long vacation or moving away. Listen, at all. But my load has been lifted. Something's happening to me. Scott, preach. Bill, preach. The expression, Gloria, get ready, Gloria. Get ready, Craig. Get ready. Because the load, something's going to have more. The anointing, the blessing of God, being involved in the work of God is going to become your joy. It's going to thrill you. I'm not going to have to ask, can we get somebody to help with the Sunday school class? Somebody's going to say, I want to help. We're not going to have to ask if somebody wants to. There's going to be a transformation coming that God intended for the church all the time, Penny. I am trembling, Bill. That is incredible. I believe every word of that story. We believe that. And for you to be here today, I'm asking Lori to
play this song so that you can be ministered to personally. I was going across a large wind-blown lake. It was very cold. I was on a small boat this September, and I was going as fast as that little boat would go, bouncing on these waves. The noise was loud. I was grinning from ear to ear. If there would have been mosquitoes, my teeth would have been covered. I was so happy. I'm going back to the cabin, and I got a whole pile of walleye in the boat with me. They sent me to get dinner. I walked in the door, and Sparky, you've heard the story, Mary. Sparky said, "Hey, Mick, we need some fish for dinner." I said, "Oh, no, you don't. Me? You want me to go catch fish for dinner?" And on the way back, the fish are flopping, the waves are popping, that little boat, I'm just grinning, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me so loud it sounded like thunder in my ears. And he said to me, "Do not worry." I said, "Right on, God." And I've had people say to me, "Well, worry about what was good." Do not worry. He's got you in his hands. He's gonna take care of you. The stuff you thought you were going through that was bad, he's gonna make it good. Scott, you know it's the truth. There's going to be some kind of deep compassion come rolling up out of people in this church when folks that are in trouble show up. Then the Holy Ghost spoke to me to say it to Lori. So I text Lori several days ago, "Do not worry." No explanation, nothing else. And she texts back, "I'm trying." This morning, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I told Terry on the way to church, and I went to Lori while you were singing the first song, and I said, "Lori, do not worry. Something physically happens to you when the load is lifted and you realize he's going to take care of this. He's going to do what he said. Bill Goodwin, if he said he's going to increase your anointing, you just keep walking, because the anointing, the oil of his spirit is going to increase freedom. I speak freedom to Bill Goodwin. I speak fearlessness. That when he moves forward now, he doesn't look to the right or the left just like he prayed for us, but says, by God, this is where we're going, and God Almighty will open the sea for you, Bill." Look, now Jeannie's getting a little out of hand, wants to say something, and Craig's saw you're standing out here waiting in line. I give you all a chance. You that have somewhat to say today, prepare yourselves. Don't worry, have supernatural peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. My peace, not as the world gives, and the world can't take it away." May God give you a deep sense of peace. Don't worry. How many of you can look back over your life and say, "He's had me in his hand all the time"? Isn't it beautiful? Thank you, Lori. Jeannie has somewhat to say. Craig has somewhat to say. I thought about having Terry talk to you about this. 2 years ago, my daughter Brittany fell, broke her arm, compound fracture, you know, they reset it and all kind of stuff, broke her wrist, had a concussion, what they call severe concussion. Danny, you can relate to this. Danny had the same problem. She had a fall several years ago. Grayley Sabin fell and has had, it's a concussion, it's a terrible, terrible thing to deal with. She could not work for 2 years. And so they were not able to make their house payment. I just want you to know that on Wednesday this week, the mortgage company called them and forgave them those 2 years. 2 years. And they get to keep, they're going to keep their house. And they were given a gift of $20,000. In one day, they went from losing their house to keeping their house, from having bills they could not pay to having money in the bank in one day. In one day. Scott, you need to know that my son Scott, they did 12 biopsies. They thought he had cancer. They gave us word this Wednesday that Scott does not have cancer. Even though his PSA levels were high, no cancer, told us so he had no cancer. I hurt my back on Wednesday. When I came to church Wednesday, I had to sit down to teach. First time in my life, I had to sit down. I hurt so bad. Couldn't walk on Thursday. I could not walk on Friday. I couldn't walk. Yesterday, before I was going to go preach down there last night, I was so concerned, Bill, because that message I was going to preach was so violent. You know, I intended to throw stuff around and all that. It was so wild. I laid down to take a nap, and when I woke up yesterday, I have not had not a one on a scale of 10 or 100. My back was healed while I was taking a nap yesterday. I just want to tell you, God's doing amazing things in our family. Amazing things. Miraculous things. Who's first? Because come here, Craig. Come talk to us a minute. This is Craig Sawyer. Come here. Come here, just by me. I went to Bible college with Craig, and he has the anointing, the ministry, the calling of God that's on this man, yes. And the patience that he has had. As God established my work as a pastor, a lot of preachers that were around this church had to sit and listen to me preach all the time. And so when I said something to him, and I said, Craig, you have to come on. You gotta come on. How many of you have to overcome stuff in your life to believe that God will use you now? Anybody? He has to overcome stuff. We all do. And I want you to encourage him right now and say, get over it, man. Get over it and give us the word of the Lord today. We're not worried about you right now. There's a yoke-breaking anointing in the house today. Yes, I'm telling you there is. Oh, my God.
A couple minutes ago, my daughter said, I remind her of a bulldog. And I was like, well, I'm not sure what to make of it. But a cuddly one, she said. I like bulldogs. I don't define myself by what people say to me, even though that was probably a nice thing, but we tend to do that. We tend to define ourselves by our surroundings, by the relationships that we have. I don't want to define myself anymore like that. I want to define myself by the cross. Everything is defined in the cross. Thank you, Pastor, for the words of life last night. Grace and peace be to you. The body of Christ.
Yes.
Now.
Right now.
Right now. The Bible says, Paul told the Ephesians, he said that Christ was lifted up, that he was exalted at the right hand of God. And he said, far above all rule,
right,
and authority,
yeah,
and power,
yes,
and dominion, and every single name that is invoked, not only in this age,
yeah,
but also in the age to come.
Yeah.
And he placed all things under Christ's feet.
Amen.
He placed all things under his feet.
Yes.
And he made him to be head
yeah,
over the church.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Everything for the church,
yeah,
which is his body.
Yeah.
Yes.
The fullness of him,
yes,
fulfills everything. Every way.
God
fills you right now.
Right now.
In every way he fills you. In every manner he fills you. He defines you. He defines who you are. And you're in the cross.
Yes.
Nothing is more important than the cross of Christ. Paul says, I determined to know nothing. Nothing among you save Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
The blood of Christ is all that matters.
Yes.
The love of God is all that matters.
Yes.
Nothing. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, and now abides faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Into the cross. I want to see into Jesus. And I want him to see into me. I can't get through this life unless I am defined by the cross. I can't. I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am if I don't look at the cross. Yeah. It defines me. I don't know who God is unless I look at the cross. I don't know who Jesus is unless I look at the cross. The words of life, Brother Friend, last night, it was the words, they were the words of life. The kingdom has come. The kingdom has come. We don't even know how to pray. We don't even know how to pray. I don't know. What? So he told us, he says, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father,
yeah.
The body, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. I want the kingdom to come, and it is here. We pray for it to come. I believe we've been praying for it all morning, for the kingdom to come. And you are in the body right now.
Amen. Hey! Jeannie, come on, Jeannie. Well, hey, mark this day on your calendar. This is the best Sunday we ever had.
Yeah. Saints, I just wanted to share a testimony that a week and a half ago, I left work late at night full of worry and anxiety and anxiousness about all the pressures of life and working 50, 60 hours a week and having to raise a family and that, and I was full of it, and I was alone in my car feeling helpless, and I began to pray. And he started declaring who he is. He said to me, I am the God who shut the mouths of the lions. I am the God that tells the dead to breathe.
Yeah.
He said, I am the God that goes before you, that makes the crooked places straight. He said, I am the God that can right your wrongs. I'm telling you, when you are down and you feel alone and you're full of worry and anxiousness, he meets you. And he shows you love, and he builds the faith up in you that you don't have on your own. And he shows us love, and he comforted me in my car when I was alone so that I didn't have that anxiousness anymore. And I'm so thankful today that I belong to a church that loves the Lord and serves the Lord, and we are open and free to praise him as we wish. It's a beautiful thing, and I encourage everybody to do it because there's freedom in that. And I'm so thankful today that I'm here, that I'm worshiping with you and with our churches combining. Last night was a beautiful service. There was freedom throughout that whole place.
Right.
And it was a message of hope and uncluttering the cross, getting to him. And that's what we need to do, all that worry and anxiousness and things that clogs our thoughts and doesn't allow us to worship and to serve him how we should. We need to unclutter those things and get back to him. And all this worrying out of the way so that we can do the work in his kingdom today.
Amen. God have mercy. Oh, my God. Are you blessed? Are you being blessed today by the word of the Lord? Is your blessability busted? I just need to know. I don't know because I can't tell by looking. I can't tell by your volume. I want to know if anybody is saying, this is exactly right. This is the church at work. This is the body of Christ at work today. This is the word of the Lord. Worship and song and healing from the songs and people ministering to you. Is there anybody getting yours today? My cup's overflowing, you guys. I'm about nuts. Come here, Gloria. Come here, Gloria. Yeah, just express it.
I am so overwhelmed today because my God, he's showing out for you today.
Yeah,
I listen just about every day to a song that Kirk Franklin sings, and it says, let me touch you and see if you are real. Some of you are sitting here today and you're thinking, these people can't be real. You're thinking, did so-and-so really get healed? I don't understand, and all these things, and that can't possibly happen to me. And every now and then, even within myself, and I've known the Lord for over 30-something years, and I say sometimes, Lord, let me touch you and see if you're really real in my life. And he never fails to do so. So if you are sitting here today and you're wondering, he is real. All these stories, all these testimonies, the word says we overcome by our testimony. And if you're sitting here today and you don't quite know that he's real, know that today he's trying to make himself real to you by all of these testimonies. And I'm sure everybody has a testimony up in here. By the very nature that you have woken up this morning and you are still breathing and you made it here today. When I look back over my life, I am 58 years old. A lot of my friends didn't make 30. And there were times where my life was in jeopardy. Every day I go into someone's home who's involved with domestic violence and so on and so forth, I don't even think about my life being in jeopardy because he is real to me. There is no fear, and I sit back and I wonder sometimes, are you stupid or what? Somebody could kill you for helping someone. It has never happened. But he is real today, and he's showing up and showing out for you. All you need to do is make an effort to touch him and believe, because that's all he asks, is that we would have the grain, the belief the size of a grain of a mustard seed, the tiniest seed in the world. He's real today.
Yes. Would everybody just clap your hands and give thanks to God right now? Oh, my God. Thank you. Somebody tell him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my God. I wish I had. I just want to plug my ears now and get all that and keep that in there. Do that. Just, oh, I'm plugging. That's not getting out. I am not letting that out of my head. Come on, stick your finger in the other ear. I'm not letting that out of my head. I need, some of you need this more than you need bread, more than you need money. You need this more. This is breath to you. Today, this is life to you. Let me tell you what's incredible to me. I love it. When any of you feel to speak, come only when you tremble. If you're calm, I can't hear you. Come ye who tremble at his word. That causes you to tremble. In the New Testament, the second chapter of Acts, they thought they were drunk. There's something happening in the Holy Ghost. I am witnessing to you today. Gloria, you're exactly right. He has come to show himself mighty. If you can just hear his word today, trust me, he's planting seeds and they're going to come up. God will not fail. God is not mocked. You say, but I don't feel it. There's no thrill in it for me today. God is not mocked. He's going to bring forth in your life the stuff that he's speaking here today. That's right. Now that's right. I have one more verse to give you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Would you turn or show me that behind me if you can? I'm so sorry to you who run the computer that I'm not more prepared earlier. I did give them verses that I was supposed to say today, and we're not even using those. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. While that's coming up here, would you look at me? I am encouraging you today that before you go to bed tonight and tomorrow morning when you get out of bed, the first words that you should speak in the morning are thank you. You should say thank you and get your head started right, and then you need to read the Bible. I'm suggesting that you read the Gospel of John. I'm suggesting that you read Romans 3, 4, and 5. I am suggesting that you read the book of Hebrews. If you want a place to read, say, I just need to read something to fill you with faith, to fill you with the right thoughts. I'm going to tell you the reason that I'm reading this verse to you, listen to me, is I have a deep well. When the Spirit of the Lord moves on me, I know right where to go in the Scripture to find verses. And I'm not asking you to read your Bible for me. I'm not asking you to read your Bible for God. I'm asking you to read your Bible for you, so that you have a well to draw from. And as we were talking, this verse came to me, 2 Corinthians 9, speaking of God's healing and provision, it reads, now he who supplies seed, he supplies seed to the sower, and he supplies bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. I want you to prepare your gifts today, your offerings and your tithes. And I want you to do so in the same power of the anointing that has been in this place so far today. Because some of you are going to move into a new dimension of giving. You're going to give more than you've ever given in your life. The year 2015, you're going to give more than any other past year in your life. Would you say amen if you want the Lord to bless you to that degree? How many of you would like to give more than you ever gave before? How many of you would like, you honest to God, you'd say, I would like to be blessed so that I could give, cheerfully give, more than I've ever given in my life. Let me see your hands if you actually mean that. Where you're so blessed. Is it all right if I tell you he intends to provide for you and increase your store, increase you, so that you give? Now listen to me very carefully. I have a strong warning. This has been on me for 10 or 12 days. I'm going to say it. Do not rent another U rental space. Sell that junk and give it to the Lord. There was a man in the Bible, he had so much stuff, he said, I got to build me some bigger barns. So he tore down his small barns and he built bigger barns. And then God said to him, you're a fool. You're a fool. Because tonight you're going to die. And all that stuff that you got stored up is going to be left to somebody. You say, Pastor, are you telling us not to save? No, I'm just telling you right now, do not buy more storage for stuff that you can't use. Sell it. Give it to missions. Give it to the kingdom. Give it to the poor. I didn't tell you to bring it here. I didn't ask you for your money. I'm simply telling you God's going to break the back of materialism in this church, and we're going to increase our giving. That's what he's going to do. He's going to do it. He's going to make it easy for you, make it fun to you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.